This week in Your Parents' Basement, we cover a game that many consider to be the pinnacle of the action and adventure RPG genre, Square's Secret of Mana from 1993. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me this week is regular co-host Todd Brisket.
Rabbit gets whacked.
And also with us is RPG newbie, Huell Hauser.
Huell has grown senile and won't say a thing.
As always, you can reach us by email, parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, or by following us on Twitter or Facebook. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and be sure to give us some stars. If you like the show, be sure to tell a friend. And now you can support us by purchasing goods on Amazon. For the click-through link, visit our website, www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Secret of Mana from 1993. We're inadvertently a little topical this week since we're talking about a game that was originally planned for the Nintendo PlayStation, and a prototype of that was unearthed in a Pennsylvania attic about 2 weeks ago. With that Nintendo and Sony CD project in the works, Square had an ambitious new game in development. An action RPG sequel to the Game Boy game Final Fantasy Adventure entitled Secret of Mana. However, when the partnership between the two Japanese giants dissolved, Square decided to downgrade the game slightly to fit it onto a cartridge. The result was a game that most consider to be one of the finest RPGs of the 16-bit era. Secret of Mana featured mostly real-time battles, which were fought by charged weapon attacks, magic, spells, and items, with computer allies helping out. Although the game sold 1.5 million copies in Japan, it was lightly promoted in the rest of the world, and only 330,000 copies were sold in North America and Europe. So, Huell, I'll start with you, since you're not a huge RPG fan. So, what did you think of this game?
I was afraid it would come to me first, but
Well, I have a feeling I know Brisket's opinion on this game a little bit, so
that'd be easy. As you all know, I did not play this as a child, so this was my first foray into Secret of Mana, what have you.
Mm-hmm. I did like it. All-time classic games of all time.
I did end up liking it. I only got to the first partner, or what have you, so I didn't even get that far, I don't think. But what I played, I did enjoy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if I've actually said I hate RPGs or I just don't like them, but what I don't like is the turn-based style, like the Final Fantasy where you just sit around and pick menus and that's all you do.
Yeah.
I never liked that.
The kind where you have to think.
No, that's not thinking. That's like you're walking along, you're just like trying to get somewhere and all of a sudden you have to freeze and you go into this like stupid stand. You're on one side and your enemy's on the other, and then you click around and you just pick, I do this spell, click, 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 and it's so dumb. I hate those. But this one is a different style. I like the timed attacks where like you attack once, but you can't just like keep hacking away and button mashing. You kind of have to time and strategize like when you attack, because the meter has to fill back up to get your full power. So I like that. I did like that. I wish more of them were like that, or maybe they are, and I just never played them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, I feel like this, it is, I got fairly far into this game, because I kind of knew what I was doing, so I kind of just whipped through the stages. I got lost here and there, because I wasn't talking to people to find out what I had to do next.
That's an issue I had, too, is I played it when I was a kid, and I don't remember it being this confusing on where you actually had to go and what you had to do.
I got majorly lost a few times.
I just enjoyed as a kid probably just running around and beating up on all these forest animals. Mm-hmm. And eventually I would come across wherever I had to be. So it wasn't as much of a concern when I played it again this past few weeks. The one place I got extremely lost is, let me see what that, after I beat the fire Gigas or Gigas boss, and I get the gnome's power, you have to go back to Pandora and talk to Fana, who is the girl's friend, And then that will open up the next area. Like, I had no idea. I was running around all over trying to find some place to go. I finally had to look up a guide, and it says, oh, just go to town and talk to this one girl that's running circles. Mm-hmm.
I think for some games back in the day, like, strategy guides were almost necessary for some of these kind of games.
Yeah.
Because there isn't even a map. You can't even look at where you are. And that really threw me off. Like, a lot of RPGs like this at least have a map, and you can see what's going on. Like,
I will say, as someone who did own this cartridge and the manual and the map, those came with the game, and they are really helpful for the first few hours. Huel, right. you mentioned that you only got one companion, but I imagine that still was probably like 2 or 3 hours of gameplay for you.
Probably longer because I got lost a lot. But
yeah, exactly. Where
I was following along that manual strategy guide.
Yeah,
they give you like there's like 30 steps or whatever until they're like, all right, now you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And I got to the Pandora Castle. We were supposed to pick up the third member, but when I got
that's in Gaia's navel.
No, that's the first one.
Oh yeah, okay. So you're
I got
about,
the first
you got,
one.
You got
so,
the little.
I got past that. I got the sprite. I got Spritey Sprite, but then went back to Pandora. And you're supposed to find the girl in the castle, but like she ran past me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I couldn't find her again. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Well, it's also confusing because the game doesn't tell you this, but there are multiple choice options at the beginning.
Oh boy.
Like you can recruit the girl first.
Oh.
And if you don't, the thing is though, if you recruit her first, you have to go through this difficult kind of dungeon. And if you leave the dungeon, she leaves you. So
and you don't ever get her back.
I don't think that happened to me.
No, you get her back, but it's way easier to kind of the game suggests that you go to Gaia's navel and you get the sprite guy first.
Yeah.
And then from there, if you backtrack to Pandora, you do run into the girl and she pushes past you, I think. And goes to she goes to north of Gaia's navel or up.
Yeah, to the forest.
Yeah, there's like a creepy forest place you have to explore, and you get her there, and you have to fight through two werewolves.
Yeah, I definitely didn't go through that because like there's a point in the instructions guide that's like you're gonna get caught by goblins and the girl's gonna save you.
Yes.
That I did not hit that part. Is that the part you're talking about?
That is earlier. Actually, that's right after when you get exiled from Podos, the starting village.
Podos.
if you walk to the next town, you get abducted by the goblins.
Oh, I shot through the cannon, so that's probably why.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was talking about with the multiple paths.
Okay.
So. Like,
so I didn't know if that was the reason why I couldn't find her in the castle.
Because
I don't know. I don't know where the hell she went.
No, from
there. To the forest.
Yeah, and for example, like you probably went to Gaia's navel, which is this underground cave kind of thing that you have to go through.
Yeah, I got through all that.
Yeah, so you met the sprite first, but you can bypass Gaia's navel and just go north, and you get into the creepy forest, and that's where you meet the girl.
Oh.
And she can – you can join her first, but that dungeon is way harder. And the other issue with this is the game doesn't tell you that she's going to be joining you, and if you don't buy this set of armor for her, she basically dies really easy because you get her at level 1 and you're fighting – by that point, your main character is around level 10. And everything just kills you in one hit. So,
They're very very weak when you first get them.
Yeah,
yeah. The
they're just darling little babes.
The guide kind of hinted at that, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think the guide probably. Well, the guide obviously is the English version, so the Japanese version had already been out, and I'm sure they got some feedback that hey, you might want to put a warning in there that you know, your allies die very quickly if you don't take, like, 10 minutes to level them up.
People be dying.
Yeah, yeah. But as you can tell, I probably played through this game I want to say 4 or 5 times as a kid. So I know way too much about it.
Yeah, it's a solid game, and here's where it really shines, is that it is a 3-player game.
Yes.
Once you get all 3 characters, you can do it. If you have a multi-tap, you can do a 3-player game and mm-hmm. beat all the bad boys that way, you know? It makes it so much easier.
Yeah. Now, we weren't able to sync it up where all 3 of us could play, because I don't think you can really do that online over the internets, but Todd Briskin and I did manage to play a little bit of this last night together, and it works pretty well over ZSNES.
Yeah.
We were deep in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it, but I think I was asleep.
I know. Think of all the worlds you missed out on. You didn't get to see mushrooms. You didn't get to see the obligatory desert stage. Hmm. We also – actually, I think this may have been after I disconnected, but I went to the ice country. There's a, you know, every type of stereotypical –
all over the world.
Yeah, every type of stereotypical land you can think of, Mana has.
Many video game.
Yeah. Much later in the game, there's this creepy rainforest you have to go through where the Mana tree actually is. There's also the Dark Palace where the dark magic guy is hanging out. So fun locales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can see all biomes of the world without ever leaving your couch.
There is, on TV Tropes, they do have a thing about that, how now I can't remember the name exactly of it, but how in every RPG you do go through, there's the Fireland and the Iceland, and it's not really clear how any of these lands can actually exist and how they have economies and citizens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, oh, what do they do? Harvest dirt? Because mm-hmm. it's just desert. There's nothing else there.
Come buy my fire.
Come buy some sand. and also
you like hot dogs, don't you?
Hugh, you were mentioning how you're not a fan of the turn-based RPGs.
Yeah. Although I did like Stick of Truth, I think, because it was just so wacky and fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, even Stick of Truth has kind of an acknowledgement of TV Tropes calls it a game and story, like gameplay mechanics and story segregation, which is in the turn-based RPGs, they give no explanation for why the enemies won't attack you while you just sit there for 5 minutes planning out your attack.
Oh, yeah. They yell at you in the game.
Yeah. Well, South Park has like the gameplay mechanism where your kids pretending to fight one another.
Right.
So
you do take turns.
Yes. Yes. That's Cartman acknowledges it at one point. and I think Huel, I think you did mention in, we were exchanging some emails about this episode, that you did really like the music here and there.
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely a highlight.
Yeah,
game.
I think this game has – it is my favorite Super Nintendo soundtrack.
I was hopping and bopping along.
Yeah. It has the epic opening song where it slowly builds up and gets huge. My favorite song in this game is the Gaia's Navel song where it's like the – you got a steel drum going. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
So I like
to drop in these beats here.
The dwarf village might have been my favorite.
Yeah, you're talking about it's kind of upbeat. I almost think it sounds a little carnivalish, if I'm thinking of the correct one.
Hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Brisket, were you actually trying to play a song or?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I was Googling real quick just because I had to see if something was available.
But... yeah, I'll pop it in.
Yeah, pop in a track or two. A couple seconds.
No, the music is definitely strong in this game. And when I did read some of the background that they had on Wikipedia and some other sources about how it was originally going to be a CD game, it that kind of made a lot of sense to me, because I could see why they would go the extra distance for the music then. I mean, most Square games, Chrono Trigger also has a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, it does.
Although I think it came out a year or two after this. Mm-hmm. But you can definitely notice a step up in the music from those games to, like, you know, the earlier Final Fantasies don't really have much music at all. So.
Well, I mean, starting with Final Fantasy 1 establishes a few melodies, but Final Fantasy 4, aka 2, mm-hmm. is where they really start having their own tracks and having some good tunes in there.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me look at my notes for a second here. So the series now, beyond the lack of publicity for Man in the States, there was also a big translation problem with this game. Because of the limits of the Super Nintendo carts, translated English text takes up way more memory than Japanese symbols, which are shorter. Also, the script for the game was translated in about 30 days, according to Wikipedia and some articles about the game. So about 40% of the dialogue was cut because between the memory issue and the translation issue, like the timeline. There's also the typical naming thing at play. In Japan, this game is known as Seiken Densetsu 2, which is a sequel to the first one. Whereas in America, it goes from Final Fantasy Adventure, which is a Game Boy game, to Secret of Mana, to World of Mana and Sword of Mana, and there's a whole bunch of spin-off games that frankly aren't especially good. As a result, the whole series is kind of dormant. There's four games of middling quality that were all released between 2006 and 2007. None of them were really reviewed that well, and all of them kind of did not sell that well. After that, the creator of the whole series, Koichi Ishii, he left Square to form his own company, and the series hasn't really advanced besides re-releases and kind of repackaging of the same kind of ideas. If you're looking for a copy of Secret of Mana, there's actually a very well-reviewed iOS and Android version from 2010 and 2014. They both cost around $10, and they retranslated the game for that, so it has the full dialogue and the full story. The actual cart version of this game costs about $50 for just the game, and 100 to 200 bucks, depending on the condition, if you want the game, box, and manual. So
yeah, this seems like one of the highly sought after cartridges for the collectors. This one, Chrono Trigger, and Final Fantasy VI are the big boys.
Yeah, when it comes to rare games that are also have kind of like a pristine reputation for being good, I think those are probably the big three, along with Earthbound is kind of quirky, and I think it's more for kind of people who really like RPGs. Whereas those three, I think, can just anyone who likes games can just pick them up and play.
Mm-hmm. Except you. Actually, I don't know. Yeah. You wouldn't like Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger is you wouldn't like it. It's still turn-based, but it's more, I don't know, it's more intuitive than just, you know, I go, now you go type of game.
Huel, do you like time travel?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you might like it just because of the plot, because I feel like time travel, I'll hang with time travel plots more than I will other plots.
Wait, I have to pay attention?
Yeah.
Not that much. It's still,
I don't know.
It's still a 16-bit video game, so the plot is still like, oh, we have to go here and save someone. Why did this person in 1000 AD die? Oh,
yeah.
It's because we changed the past in 600. So.
I see.
Yeah.
It is it's quite an epic type of game. Mm-hmm. So you feel like the world is actually changing when you're playing it.
Okay. Mm.
Brisket, since you mentioned those big three, at one point I owned two of those three. I never had Final Fantasy VI or Final Fantasy.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah, or Final Fantasy III. I rented it for like a straight 2 week period and beat it when I was in high school or middle school. It was one of the two. I owned Chrono Trigger and I left it over a friend's house, and then me and my friend kind of had a falling out, so I never got that back. Which my at the time I was just like, oh, it's a video game, and my parents,
yeah,
like they didn't really push for it. Like I was like, oh, can you bring me, you know, can you talk to his parents and bring me over there and get my video game back? And they were like, no. So, yeah, that game now, the cart is probably worth like $50-$100. Secret of Mana, I sold to, I think, Toys R Us when they bought used video games for $15. So that was not a good trade on my part.
That is my regret I have, is I sold off some of my good games like Final Fantasy III.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's another one that's in the $50-$75 range.
So speaking of time travel, and this is going on another tangent off of this game, is the Secret of Mana of the US, which is Secret of Evermore. I think that's a highly underrated game.
Oh, yes.
They always poo-poo it because it was made by the U.S. Square mm-hmm. team. And it was kind of a rip-off of this game, not story-wise, but just gameplay-wise. But if I were on an abandoned, whatever it's called, desert island, and I had to choose Secret of Mana or Secret of Evermore, I would go Evermore.
Huh.
Hot takes.
I know,
Hot
really.
Hot takes.
I would probably choose Mana, but it is much closer than I think most people, you know, evaluate these two games. Huel, since you probably, I doubt you've ever played Secret of Evermore.
No, I beat it. I completed it.
Oh, well, just in case anyone listening hasn't ever played that, it's basically Secret of Mana, except imagine if it was set in like 1960s with like a B movie plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like the hero.
And you're just some. I think the intro even says somewhere in Podunk, USA.
Yes, it does.
Podunk. I mean, yes, I remember.
And you play as the boy or something like that.
Yeah, and he's just getting out of a showing of a movie that's something like Revenge of the 50-Foot Creature, something like that. And then the game starts.
Mm-hmm. And you have a companion that is a dog. And the cool thing about this game is, it's only two. You can do it two player, I think, if I remember correctly. The other player can be the dog.
Yes.
But that's it. You don't get three characters. The cool thing is that when you do the time travel, your dog changes into whatever time period it is. Like when you go to the Stone Age, he turns into some huge beast dog. What? When you go into the future, he turns into a robot dog.
A robot. Yes.
And this. Also, with Evermore, it is a game that is very self-aware. So, at one point, you can talk to a townsperson, and he screams at you, "We're all just characters in a video game."
Well, that's,
yeah.
And he has other dialogue like, "We are merely sprites that dance at the beck and call of our button pressing overlord." So that's some of the dialogue that's going on in here. And also, it's like
an original Stanley parable.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's, you know, it doesn't go all the way with it. It's still
not quite that far.
No, it's still like the 16-bit version of that. So, and you get sides like Jack McCoy said, "Invasion of the Mole People. Stay focused and watch your step." Like that's dialogue from this game. So, It's definitely an interesting twist, but it's also clear why fans of Secret of Mana were kind of pissed about Secret of Evermore, because they have nothing to do with one another. There's no reason for them to share the same title.
Yeah, right.
Like everything else in the Mana yeah. series or the Secret of series, like there are all these classic fantasy games where you're using like swords and magic and stuff. And then Evermore, you have a wisecracking kid and his dog. So.
Right.
Yeah. So you'll now, you don't need to play either one of these games. We've just told everything about them.
Yeah, I feel like I already have.
Mm-hmm. Now, Seiken Densetsu 3, which is the sequel to Secret of Mana.
Yes.
I've been looking around at some reviews. I've only played it for about 30 minutes total because whenever I try to boot it up, it always crashes on me. I can't get very far.
Oh, really?
Have you ever played it much?
Huel?
No.
Yeah, I doubt Huel.
That is a zero.
Oh, I figured you would have beaten it, like you beat Evermore.
No, it's the only one.
Brisket, I played through it like 5 or 6 hours, but there's a fan translation, and I'm pretty sure that fan translation came out when I was in college. So by that point, I was doing other things. And by that...
Yeah, that as well as my...
The issue, ladies.
That's, no, by that... I didn't play the... I for sure didn't play the Japanese version. I played the fan translation.
Yeah.
And that's the one that keeps crashing on me. But every
You're
review,
stopping on this punchline here.
By that...
Every review, I what? What? Hang on a second. Is he saying something?
No, not at all.
By that...
I mean, I'm dying to know what this is.
Okay.
By that, I mean I was playing NBA Street in my dorm room with my friends.
And, okay, thank you.
And GoldenEye. That was a tremendous payoff. Okay. Go ahead.
That's a good 10-minute joke.
Okay. Now...
Go on, Todd. Yes, please.
Yes. I see all the reviews that say that Seiken Densetsu 3 is a better game. Like, it's, you know, better gameplay, better story than Secret of Mana.
I don't really think so. I think people tend to romanticize, like, games we never got in America.
Oh, like, obviously.
Like, people...
I'm not even talking about romanticizing. This is, like, Famitsu reviews and everything like that. All those Japanese... companies.
The sequel has, it's more complex in some ways. It has 6 characters and you pick 3 of them. So the story can kind of change depending on who you pick. But it's still like there's still 3 main storylines that you kind of get shunted into depending on who you pick. And it also it exchanges some of the things Mana does for different conventions, like you no longer have orbs to power up your weapons. Instead, I think you can just buy new equipment and buy new, like you temper weapons or something like that. So it changes things up in little ways, but I still found Secret of Mana to be a bit better. Secret of Mana 2, which I'm going to call that game, because I can't pronounce Seiken Densetsu 3. Is that mm-hmm. how you're saying it?
Mm-hmm. Legend of the Sword of Legend, yeah.
Secret of Mana 2 is still... I still found it to be a really enjoyable game, but I found the first one to be better overall. So.
All right.
If you do have a spare... These are both long games. If you... You know, I played this one, I want to say 5 or 6 hours, and even with that, and I know where everything is, and I'm using an emulator to kind of skip past the story, I still only got about halfway through this one. So, you know, best case scenario, you're looking at these are 15 to 25, 30-hour games to power through.
Oh, the instruction booklet said 70, and I was like,
oh. Oh, no, no. Like, it might be 70 if you're, like, really obsessive and you decide, I want every character to have the highest magic level and to be proficient in every weapon they have. otherwise, like, you can whip through the main story. If you know where you're going, I'd probably think I could do it in 10 hours. And the speed run. Yeah.
Seriously?
The speed runs are pretty reasonable for this game. Let me see. Speed run is currently the one, the first one that popped up on YouTube is about 2.5 hours.
That is pretty good. Yeah.
Blowing my mind.
Blowing my mind. I don't even know how that's possible. How is that possible?
I imagine that's probably one that, that's probably one I'm guessing that, really abuses like luck manipulation. Like they probably tried their best to make sure they don't get hit and go through bosses as quickly as they can, that kind of thing. But I, you know, I feel like it would only take me 10 actual hours to beat this game. Because you can, like, there's a lot of talking segments that you can just skip through quick with the emulator. So, get past them chatty Cathys.
Yeah. Well, there's people talking at me.
I already know what Gem of the Night wants to talk to me about, this tree that bestows a sword upon me. I don't need to listen to the village chief angrily kick me out again for the 50th time. So, yeah, Huel, did you cry when you got kicked out of your village at the beginning of the game?
That was sad.
I took a few beats, had to regroup.
There was very sad music playing. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, even your childhood friends were all pissed at you.
Yeah,
I just.
That's when that sad music kicked in. Yeah,
yeah.
I was blown away. I'm just glad my parents weren't alive to see it.
See, this is what happens when you play a deep, emotional, story-driven RPG game. You get involved.
Yeah.
Get emotions.
No, kid. You're getting kicked out of your home in Potos Village.
Potos.
Now this guy's just standing here with his basket of apples blocking your way.
Yeah, that guy was a dick.
It does happen several times during the games where just like...
Get kicked out.
Well, one or two soldiers will be like, ha, I've caught you. I'm taking you to this pit where you have to fight a boss. Except, you know, for most of the game, you're fighting these huge monsters and using magic on people, and somehow, like, one or two soldiers detain the three of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't really explain that portion so well. It's like, well, why don't... I have a sword. Like, I can't just use my sword on this person? Can't just run them through?
Nope.
No, that, sorry.
That would be immoral.
No, sorry. We have to drop you into the pit with a tiger. You need to beat this tiger first.
Well, he's got no problem bashing monsters, but humans, that's a whole different level there. It's a whole different strategy.
As Brisket pointed out last night, most of these monsters you're beating also just look like friendly woodland creatures.
Yeah, they're just little creatures. Like, you're just busting up crabs and rabbits. And
well, they're attacking you. If they were so nice, they wouldn't be trying to kill you.
Walking mutated mushrooms who came over from pipes from Mario.
Exactly.
Like, they all must die. You must skewer them with swords and javelins and spears. This really is a violent game. I never really realized that till last night.
It is very violent, yeah, with all the swords and and nunchaku and
yeah. I the final note I kind of had on this game was you do get 8 different kinds of weapons, and also eventually I think you get 8 different types of magic too. But
can I ask, what was the point of the different weapons? Did they really do anything differently?
Exactly. That really, you don't really have to switch them up all that much. Like, they're...
No. Yeah, you have to skill up, like, one of each kind. Like, you need one ranged and you need one close combat, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's how I kind of did it. Like, I would... My first couple times through this game when, you know, I was just kind of rushing through it, like, I would give each of them their own... like weapon. Like the girl got the fist for close combat, and she got the bow, and the inadvertent. And the sprite got the boomerang, because I think that's what he starts with. The boomerang,
yeah, that
and,
thing,
and the spear, and I just had the boy use the sword, because, you know, he always has the sword. Oh, and the whip. The whip is good.
Now, is the sprite a boy or a girl? Because I thought they kept referring to it as a girl.
It's, I think in the U.S. version, they try to keep it ambiguous, but, and also in the Japanese version, what I read is that they don't even identify him directly in the Japanese version, except for sometimes he uses a, I'm not a grammar English type person. He uses some kind of word that only men would say.
Some sort of word that only men would say.
Yeah.
Like balls? I don't understand what you mean.
At least with the way the American translation works, at one point they make it quite clear the sprite is a man, because they mention at what point in the game is this? One of the spirits talks to the sprite when he's giving him magic and goes, "Oh, you and your wife can use my magic." So, meaning the girl you're fucking with.
Steve, let's be PC here. A female sprite can marry another female sprite in Obama's America.
But not in like 1990s Japan gameplay.
And also, I must say,
Nintendo won't even let you marry, like, acknowledge different genders now.
I was very disappointed that the boy could not wear the hair ribbon. I thought that was very sexist.
Oh, Steve, you know what? We did talk about this a few weeks ago, how Nintendo is, you know, they don't want to open up the homosexual world to their young audience. Mm-hmm. But there's a bit of controversy in the past few weeks over the newest Fire Emblem game where you can create a gay character.
Oh, some controversy.
Controversies.
Controversy.
Oh, is that
the new Fire Emblem that's coming out sometime in the next month or two?
I'm okay with that. I mean, it's just video games.
I'm okay. Yeah,
that's a good.
Let them all get nasty.
you could do it from Sims 1. You could have the gays.
Yeah. Well, that's what you could name them. Even you could have them next door to you.
Yeah.
You could be the Smiths, and right next door you have the gays.
I did it constantly.
I will say, when we were playing on Brisket's version of Secret of Mana last night, and he gave some off-color names to his characters.
No, hang on.
Such as what?
This is how, when you first encounter the characters, the sprite, he was, and you might have to pull out the old bleeper on this one. he was being a total so
we might have to get the bleeper. Okay. We might.
So I called him.
Perfect.
Yeah,
the girl she's only worried about dialect. She doesn't care about anything else. She just wants her man. So you know what I called her? Steve, what was it?
I believe you named her Hobag.
Yes, she is Hobag.
I see.
Now, it's weird, your explanation,
What was your main character's name?
Your explanation, though, doesn't make sense. Oh, my main character. Because she's worried about her man. She wasn't, like, cheating on him.
No, she was craving. She was craving her man.
She could have named her Hangry.
She was Hangry. Yeah.
You should have named her, like, Clinger. Stage 5 Clinger.
Well, I named my main character Butts, and the sprite was Taint.
Oh, God.
That's my go-to for any game, really. Oh, you should see all the people I got running around Fallout Shelter.
Wow, geez.
That's just a smorgasbord of good names there.
Todd, what'd you name your main character? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was being boring with that one. He's just called Todd.
Lame.
My main character was called Ace. which is weird. Yeah, he's not named after Adam Carolla, who calls himself Ace Carolla.
Is he named after Ace Frehley?
No, I don't know why I started doing this, but even in Dragon Warrior, I would name characters Ace. So it's just one of those things, man. I named the girl Taylor because she's a blonde. So she's obviously named after America's premier singer-songwriter. And I named the sprite Bob.
Mm-hmm. He looks like a Bob.
A little Bob.
Bob. Yeah. Well, and also, to be honest, I couldn't remember how many letters they gave you, which is also why I named...
It's like six.
Yeah, that's also
it's
why
not a lot.
I named my main character Ace and Bob. And I don't know. I feel weird naming the characters after myself, unless they look like me.
Hmm. No, I've never done that.
Name the character after yourself?
No, after you.
Oh, maybe you should do that for all the future games we play, Huel. I want you to name the character after me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll try that. Yeah.
I want you to take good care of me and no death.
I'm going to level you up.
Yeah. And just in case, though, you should keep a tally. You know, tell me how many times I die in a game.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. First time I played Link to the Past, which was like 8 years ago, I kept a death tally. I was very bad in the beginning.
Oh yeah. Well, to be fair, you were probably like, you first played 8 years ago.
About.
Oh, so you were probably like 28 then, right?
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
You were a young man of 38.
Young man. My glory years.
Before you hit the salad days. Before you just. Hanging out, telling kids how good Rampart was and how that Centipede game really changed the world.
Of course.
Speaking of the names, real quick. In the English U.S. version of the game, they are called Boy, Girl, and Sprite. But in the Japanese version, they are called Randy, Prim, and Popoy.
Popoy.
I did read on Wikipedia that the girl was named Prim, and I was like, oh, that's not a good name. I feel like that's...
Named after the town in Nevada.
Really?
Of course.
Yeah.
The world famous Prim, Nevada.
It's like how...
Shank Smith's from there.
In Final Fantasy... Yeah. In Final Fantasy III, one of the main characters' relatives, her mother's name is Madonna. So that also makes sense why they went with something else for the English version. Although I feel like Boy is not an especially good name for a lead character. But
Boy.
What do your friends call you? Boy. Well, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add about Mana here?
No, it was enjoyable, and maybe one day I'll come back and play through it all.
I will say there are some plot twists in this game.
Don't spoil them.
Oh, I won't. Mm-hmm. There's actually some pretty good twists in this game, so it's worth sticking with.
Okay.
Brisket, what are your final thoughts on Mana here?
Final thoughts are, this is one of the top tier RPG games of all time. I would say, as far as like action RPGs, this is number two. Because I would say, Zelda, old Zelda over there, Link to the Past is an action RPG. Although some disagree.
Yep.
I like this game more than Zelda, I would even say.
Well, you're a fool.
Well, I don't really think it's a completely fair comparison, though, because Mana came out like 3 years after, I think. So, you know, you're looking at games that I think Zelda, Link to the Past came out at the beginning of the Super Nintendo's lifespan, and it's really an incredible game when you consider that. But Mana is more like towards the end of the Super Nintendo lifespan. So the one knock I will have for Zelda, which I think you know, at some point we are going to definitely, you know, cover that series. But Link to the Past plays very slow to me now. Like, Link moves around like he's in friggin' quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
Or in mud.
A little bit.
Well, he's got tiny little gimp legs in that game, so he does move kind of slow.
He's all head.
One of my buddies would also, the thing that infuriated him the most about that game was the fact that you could not jump over fences.
Really?
Yeah, that's the the modern day equivalent is every time a new Grand Theft Auto comes out, you'll see some meme picture of a car smashed into like a bush. Like, it can't drive through a bush.
Yeah. It runs over like fences and lampposts. But
yeah.
You hit one little bush and you're destroyed.
Yeah. A big impediment to A Link to the Past is the fact that there are fences blocking you at certain points, even though the fact you're jumping over much larger things in the game. Two, you can rip out boulders from the ground. And three, you're carrying a sword.
Look, what? Yeah. What does even occur to people? It's just, oh my God.
And a fire rod. You get a fire rod and you still can't do anything about wooden fences. So
just accept it, all right?
Oh my God. No.
You don't know, in the land of Hyrule, maybe fences have some mystical properties.
Yeah. Everything's magic. Mm.
I mean, Mana has a couple. I think there are some fences in Mana, but the more frustrating thing is that your allies will sometimes get hung up, like they don't pathfind correctly all the time, so you will get hung up in some areas.
Yeah, so it's so annoying.
Yeah, but
you
that's,
have to go back and get them.
Yeah, it's more of a temporary inconvenience. So, all right. Well, I definitely have. I fully recommend Secret of Mana to everyone, either the cart if you want to spend some money, or just get it on your mobile device or your tablet. Have some fun with it. Let's move on to email. My box is empty this week. Brisket, did you get any email?
I got another letter from fan of the show, Butterscoot24.
Mm.
This one...
I'm excited, but nervous.
I don't know why. He likes talking video games. So this one is just addressed to TB.
Mm-hmm.
I like killing people because it's so much fun.
Oh.
It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest, because man is the most dangerous animal of all. To kill something is the most thrilling experience. It is even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is that when I die, I will be reborn in paradise, and all that I have killed will become my slaves. I will not give you my real name, because you will try to slow down or stop my collecting of slaves for my afterlife. I really love Kirby's Adventure for the NES. Can you guys cover that game? Kind regards, Butterscoot24.
Whoa.
What do you guys think about Kirby? Is that something we should cover?
I suppose, yeah. It's a classic character. Been in many games.
Yeah, I love Kirby.
Was that the first Adventure Kirby game?
Yeah, for the NES.
Okay.
And I love it because it's a originator.
Yeah, it's
of,
unique.
It's unique. You can absorb people, take their powers, and you know, use their souls, their soul's power, to fuel the killing of other animals.
Some could say Kirby is a slave collector.
Oh, that's probably why it resonated so strongly with Butterscoot.
And Butterscoot, in fact, anybody can be a guest on the show if they want to. If you want to be a guest for Kirby, just send an email to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And you could be a guest and talk about any game you think would be a good one to talk about.
We should slot that in there.
It sounds like we have to keep the demons at bay for Butterscoot. You know, we might help save some lives if we did Kirby's Adventure.
Well, I mean, it's a fun game.
Yeah, that's it. I guess that's a good reason, too.
Yeah.
Let's see what...
Huel, did you get any correspondence this week?
I did. I received one email. This is from ScooterButt42.
Oh.
Oh, old Scooty. Now,
we technically haven't heard from him for a while, so he lets us know how he's doing. So he writes, "Hey guys, sorry I haven't been able to write. I got into some troubles, but I'm good now. I managed to, well, remedy my previous situation. Getting out was almost as hard as beating Gradius, ducking and weaving between bullets and blasting through enemies to freedom. It's exhilarating once you finally succeed, especially without being able to use an option. My only option this time was survival. Gotta go. I think I hear some sirens. ScooterButt42.
Oh.
It's nice how you can translate skills learned through video games into real-world applications.
Yeah, real-life situations.
It is always good to hear from ScooterButt, but I do wish he had a question.
ScooterButt likes to comment on the previous week's episode. Scooty seems to have played a lot of these games, so mm-hmm. like to write in with their own opinion.
I did notice this time he did not say that you were doing a great job, Huel. Has there been a falling out of some kind?
Well, I think he just wants to get his opinion across.
Is there something we don't know about here? Maybe Brisket is now tops in his heart. I don't want to sow seeds of dissension.
But... I would like to say, is Brisket the one getting these emails? No. So.
Oh, good point.
Perhaps there's still a strong fandom there.
Mm. Yeah. Or you go with what you know.
I just feel like if he really had to go, I'm always surprised that he types out his situation of why they need to go so quickly, yet they take the time to.
It is weird
tell
that,
us.
Yeah, it's weird that he typed out "gotta go, bullets are after me."
Yeah. Huh. Well, I wish him luck.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for writing in, Scooty.
Yeah, so it is always nice to hear from him. It always puts my problems into perspective when I
It's a lot. It's a I just like his game opinions.
Yeah. All right, now Brisket, did you have anything else to add before we signed off for the week?
Yeah. From now on, I'll simply be a normal elderly lady and live peacefully.
Okay. Huel, did you have anything to say?
No, I don't think so.
That is from Secret of Mana. It took me a second to realize he was talking about when you fight and defeat the witch, that is what she says.
Yep.
Good.
That is her only line of dialogue after the fact.
thanks for kicking my ass. I'm just going to be an old lady now.
Oh, finally.
Well, on that note, I hope everyone else can find comfort within themselves. And here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.